You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
Now, as lab-based experiments go, it's hard to think of one that's more ambitious than that proposed by our next guest, FQXI member and cosmologist Eduardo Grendelman of Ben-Gurion University of the Negev in Israel. Over the past 30 years, Grendelman and colleagues have been on a quest to generate a whole new cosmos in a particle accelerator. That's right, a baby universe, which would grow from a tiny particle called a monopole until it reaches astronomical proportions, maybe cosmological proportions, and can house its own stars, galaxies, and maybe even life. It's a project that Zia has been following for a few years.
Indeed, it's a topic that's close to my heart because the Baby Universe Project is the subject of my new popular physics book, A Big Bang in a Little Room, The Quest to Create New Universes. In June, Grendelman and I were invited to the Physics Days conference at the University of the Eastern Mediterranean in northern Cyprus, where Grendelman was the keynote speaker and spoke about the idea. At the end of the meeting, in a rather noisy hotel lobby, I asked Grendelman to say a few words for the podcast about the mechanics of how you can grow your infant cosmos in a particle accelerator and how his speculative theory might help those trying to construct a theory of quantum gravity. But before diving into that, I asked Grendelman a pressing question that has concerned a lot of readers when they hear the topic of my book. That is, if we grow a baby universe in a particle accelerator in a lab on Earth, is there a danger that it might explode outwards into our cosmos, destroying our planet and everything else in its path as this bubble of newly made space inflates ever outwards?
Well, in fact, it was surprising. First of all, there is a solution, which is important, but the solution was kind of very intriguing because the bubble can indeed increase exponentially and become infinite, but it doesn't expand towards the environment, so to speak. You have to use the full extension of the space, which contains a wormhole. So by using the wormhole solution of the space, the expansion can take place, but the universe, the radius of the bubble can become big, but expanding towards the other side of the, forming a wormhole, yeah, that eventually disconnects from the outside.
Grendelman is describing how he and his colleagues stumbled on the idea that you could create a baby universe in a particle accelerator some 30 years ago. As a starting ingredient, you would need a bubble filled with a special type of vacuum called false vacuum that would be primed to inflate. We'll come back in a moment to just where you might find this false vacuum seed in reality. At the time, Grendelman was a PhD student at MIT, working with cosmologist Alan Guth and others. They realized that if you fired particles with enough energy at a tiny false vacuum bubble, it would start to grow. But as it did so, it would warp space-time, inverting it to create a wormhole connecting our universe to the growing baby cosmos. The tiny baby universe would then grow to epic scales, but in a space-time that was separated from ours, connected to us through this wormhole. The wormhole tunnel would eventually itself pinch closed, disconnecting us from our child cosmos. The team was stunned to find that such a universe-making feat was possible, at least in theory. But they were also aware that there were immense hurdles to actually achieving this in practice. For starters, it would take a particle accelerator with more energy than the Large Hadron Collider has today. And it seemed to require the impossible. They would need to create the kind of Big Bang singularity, the infinitely small dense point of energy that birthed our own cosmos, in the lab.
Concerning the practicality of the idea, there are some obstacles to this idea because the solutions that we found actually involve an initial singularity. So basically, if you wanted to do this in the laboratory, you should avoid that initial singularity.
It's basically like asking us to have a real Big Bang, in the sense that we had a Big Bang at the beginning of our universe, but to create that, all that kind of rush of energy from this kind of tiny, tiny, infinitely dense point, and that would take such a huge amount of energy, it doesn't seem like something we could really do in the lab.
Actually, the energy is not so much. There is a finite amount of energy that you can, from which you can build an infinite universe. And the Big Bang is that you have to use to make this child universe is localized. It's a point like Big Bang.
The energy requirement, while huge, wasn't a deal breaker. But Gwendolyn was worried about the need for a singularity. The search for an alternative seed from which to grow a baby universe without needing a singularity has occupied him over the decades.
Then we work over the years, and I work over the years on different models to avoid this singularity. One possibility was to use quantum effects. Another possibility that was explored by a Japanese group is to use magnetic monopoles, that somehow you avoid some theorems, singularity theorems. So there are ways around.
So there are ways around it, and part of what I do in the book is explore one of them in particular, the one that you mentioned by the Japanese group, where if you could find a magnetic monopole, which is a hypothetical particle that physicists have good reason to believe exists but haven't yet discovered, but perhaps if you could find one of them, you could create your own universe inside a laboratory.
Well, let me say that the magnetic monopole is a particularly interesting example because at the center of the magnetic monopole, you kind of already have a false vacuum bubble. You could see, without looking very much on the technical thing, that this has a potential for being used for this idea. And then these Japanese colleagues studied some kind of perturbations from which you can grow this little bubble inside and make out from this a real universe, a false vacuum bubble that expands to infinity.
So let me ask you a couple of questions that have come up from the public since I wrote my book. People are quite excited about this, and they've sort of been asking questions like, you know, is there a way that we could prop open the wormhole tunnel and maybe travel into the universe? You know, could we get things from the universe? Could we tweak the laws of physics so that we could control the kind of properties inside the universe, the forces, the particles, things like that? So it's really a question of how much control would we have if we were in the future able to make such a baby universe?
Yeah, the simpler solutions will not have this property. Only at the beginning you will be able to see the universe, but then when the universe starts to expand, it just really disconnects. What you would have to have is use a wormhole that's what is called transversible wormholes. They're hard to get in the classical theory of gravity. They may appear through quantum effects or by violating the energy conditions. So to get in touch with the other universes, it may not be so easy, so to speak.
And just to be clear, we're talking really kind of speculative stuff now, you know, the kind of things where, you know, if you want to see that kind of traversable wormhole, you maybe have to go to Kip Thorne's movie Interstellar or something like that to see how people who have thought about it have kind of thought about ways that this could be realized and use that for a science fiction scenario. You know, it's still this incredible idea. So let me ask you, you sound very calm about it, but does it, I mean, oh, he's giggling now in the background, but, you know, are you really excited about this prospect actually happening one day?
Well, I'm not too nervous about it because I don't think we will be able to make a baby universe in my lifetime, but
but let me ask you, even if it's something that we can't do in your lifetime, you know, produce it ourselves, generate it as human beings, is it something that maybe could be happening spontaneously or naturally? Because we hear talk about the multiverse, this idea that there are many other universes out there like our own, which also comes from inflation theory, but maybe by a slightly different mechanism. But is this something where, you know, is this another way that perhaps universes could be being born around us?
Yeah, actually, it could be a process that could be taking place in the vacuum of quantum gravity, for example.
Physicists have struggled for decades to come up with a theory of quantum gravity that would bring together the quantum rules that govern the behavior of particles on microscopic scales with the laws of gravity on cosmic scales set out by Einstein with his theory of general relativity, which describes the motion of planets and stars. One issue is that when physicists try to combine the mathematics from the two theories together, they get hit by seemingly nonsensical results. The solutions to their new equations give them infinite answers, telling them that space-time's fabric should be ripping itself apart. Since this clearly doesn't happen, many of those theories of quantum gravity were thought to be wrong. But it would be very handy for such quantum gravity models if the pesky infinities that they throw out could be shrouded away somehow, so that they didn't make such catastrophic predictions for how our space-time should behave. Could hiding them away in baby universes that disconnect from our own space-time be the answer? Gwendolyn.
I thought this could have applications to make a consistent quantum gravity, because there's very high energy excitations, which are the ultraviolet sector of the theory that causes all the problems. They have a high probability, apparently, to disconnect from us. So you could be pushing out the bad part of the theory, and maybe it can help to make a consistent quantum gravity. So that's a theoretical idea. They could help to make a nice quantum gravity theory by making a use of child units, as you say, spontaneous processes that do not require intervention of human intervention, that certainly should be happening.
Right, so I think I've sort of asked you everything that I wanted to ask you. I mean, we've gone through, you know, this kind of crazy, wild idea that you've been working on for some decades of how to make a universe in a laboratory, but also, you know, if the model is correct, how maybe these could be spontaneously created, and that could help us understand quantum gravity in a way. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
Well, let's hope that we can make a baby universe sometime. And also that we will know that we did it, right? So
that was Eduardo Gwendolyn chatting to Zia. And of course, if you want to read more about the project, there is a link to Zia's book, A Big Bang in a Little Room, published by Basic Books, on the podcast page, fqxi.org/community/podcast. As well as a link to an online game to have a go at making your own baby universe too. I read this book and I loved it. And part of what's so interesting was the way that you're able to talk about what motivates the people doing the science, including their religious motivations. It felt like you got them to actually be honest about what they were thinking. And also these questions that they think about, like this big one, like, is it okay to create a baby universe? Is that good or bad? I mean, that's a fascinating question, I think, and to show that these people are actually thinking about it.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. I mean, I guess, you know, one thing we know, because we work at FQXI and we spend a lot of time with all of these people, is how really interesting they are as, you know, personalities, just, you know, laughing and joking and, you know, thinking about things beyond physics. And I was trying to bring some of that out, I guess, you know, when I was speaking to them. So it wasn't just about the physics of, you know, how you can make a baby universe, but it was really trying to explore what drives these people, you know, why they're so fascinated with physics and these other big questions. And yeah, like you say, you know, does it touch on ideas from religion, from philosophy, from ethics? Because we're talking about, you know, a huge idea. So yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed the book.